Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Hot Mess Express, known as 90 Day Fiancé. We're back once again to talk about season 6, episode 12 of Happily Ever After. I believe I got both the season number and the episode number correct there, so I'm feeling good about myself. I am your conductor today, Pooya Zandvakili, ready to talk about everything that went down in this episode. And I'm not on my own. You know, Rob, the Big Brother season started. Rob is going to be Nyadis a little bit over here. I'm sure he's watching. I know he has because he sent me his thoughts. However, the guest I brought in needs no introduction and will be making sure everything goes down nicely and smoothly and will not leave any stone unturned. Of course, I'm talking about the host of the Love & Hip Hop Atlanta Wrap Up. It is the one, the only Sasha Joseph here with me today. Sasha, how are you doing?
So good. It's literally Christmas in July. I love it. What an episode for us to talk about. And I'm just so glad to be back on the 90 Day Fiancé train. My first love, I feel like.
This is the first place where you and I got to meet and speak, was talking about this wild, wild franchise. And I'm glad we're back at it again once more. And can I say, I think that you got a good episode. This is a wild episode to talk about today.
Oh my God. When I was taking notes, I was like, oh, right. I really am going to have to talk about this stuff. So everyone buckle up, because if you don't watch the episode, I know a lot of people just listen to the podcast. Just get ready. I think you need headphones for this one.
Yeah. And you know us, we're going to paint pictures with words. You'll be able to visualize everything. Almost for better or worse, depending on some of the segments that'll come up here. But I'm sure we will get through all of that. Now, Sasha, I don't think we've spoken about this season specifically with each other yet. Let me know what you've thought about 90 Day Happily Ever After season 6 so far.
Yeah, I think I was on once. Now I can't remember. Maybe I'm really wrong.
90 just like switches together. I can't remember if we talked about the regular. Actually, it might have been with, because I feel like we talked about Tariq and Hazel.
Yeah, I think you're right. My bad. But anyway, yes, I love this season. It's really exciting. I will say, it got a little boring to where I was like, I think I'm going to watch 1 to 2 episodes at a time, not really a one episode thing. And then all of a sudden, it's ramped up again where they're fighting, but like the fights are actually worth watching, not like a, I'm bored, let's move on fight. So thank you for being blessed. You know, I'm grateful. I'm blessed.
Yeah, it really did do that, where it had a good fiery start. The promo at the start of the season gave us a lot to want. Then it got a little dull. Then they took that break for the 4th of July. And I feel like since we've come back to back, they've been good episodes. I feel like we're at that portion of the season now where it's just getting more heated and all the stories that they promoted are now coming out here. So it's been good.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly it. Or I think we're now over the hump of like the setup. So it's no more setup. Now it's very much a let's get it done. Let's like wrap up our, you know, the show and let's figure out where our friends are going to go after this.
Yeah. And I mean, they're going to go many places. So, Sasha, how about we just go ahead and start talking about this couple here. I want to talk about Kalani and Asuelu right out the
yes.
gate. We got a smaller bit of them this week, but essentially I feel like they were kind of being set up. What I'm trying to say here is I think they are going to be the main event next week is kind of how it felt this week.
And I hope they are, right? Because it's very much, again, we're getting the setup. We're getting a lot of like, oh, we're picking up Christmas trees, which I want to say is the world's saddest Christmas tree. And I'm Jewish, so like, I don't know what people are into, but I think it should be a little bigger. But it was very just like, meh, the kids are, you know, in the car, they're all dressed up, it's cute. And then they're going to, you know, start talking about basically what's happening next week, I feel like, where they're almost telling us like, okay, get ready, you know, no one's happy, or especially our friend Kalani is not happy about Tammy and Asuelu's mom coming to visit them for Christmas. So to me, I like, it was, again, just a setup for next week.
And you know what? I can't blame her. Basically, they told Kalani, hey, get your boxing gloves ready because the person who said they'd beat you up in the reunion, yeah. they're coming home for Christmas. Like, I would not be happy either. So basically, yeah. So with them, we just got more of Kalani and Asuelu telling everyone, hey, next week, for the holidays,
yes.
Asuelu's mom is going to be stopping by here before she goes back to Samoa, and she's going to be driven over by, of course, Asuelu's sister. So for me, I feel like the family is optimistic about things, and I'm hoping everything's fine, but I just don't trust it.
Yeah, I think the dad, like Kalani and Kalini's dad, is almost a voice of the audience, where the dad was like, listen, like, it's chill, you know, it's gonna suck, it's frustrating. Seems like he did not watch the video of, you know, Tammy saying like, hey, it's on site whenever I see you next. But, you know, he's hoping Kalani's gonna stay positive. He's like, my daughters, you know, are gonna respect me, they're not gonna do the wrong thing. And I feel like the line of the season, where when people are at hand distance, they act very different versus on Zoom.
I like that a lot. Yeah, I like that Lo protects his peace and doesn't watch the show.
Yes.
I like that we found that out. He's like, I don't care, we're all on the show. I'm not going to watch it, because he missed the reunion clearly. But good on him.
Yeah. Yeah, which is what I really liked, where mom, you could tell, is very much in the sauce, and she's trying to explain to her husband, hey, like, it was actually pretty bad, you need to understand. And then I love how Lo said, well, okay, if they need to fight and stand up for themselves, they should do it. Like, I'm not against it. They should, you know, respect themselves. But the point is, I don't want my daughter starting it, but I think they can finish it.
Lo basically to me said, listen, Christmas has been kind of dull these last couple of years. Maybe this will spice it up. Let's see what happens. Let's roll the dice.
Let my family come together. You know, common enemy will always get you to love each other more. So to me, that's his strategy.
Not a bad strategy. I did like that the first scene we saw Asuelu in this week was him doing all the house chores to prove to Kalani, hey, we could have another baby. I can do all the things.
Right. And Kalani is me, because she said, do you think giving me one afternoon off equals you having a baby? So again, Kalani actually said this, to say she does think Asuelu has changed. She sees Kalani, her sister, happy. So listen, I think we need to trust this man's process. I think maybe he is growing up, even though he's wearing an elf costume later on in this episode. But I think he's trying, and we got to give him, you know, his kudos a little.
I mean, for all, there are a lot of men on this show that are just not trying and think they are. So to see Oswelu at least do the bare minimum and begin to excel more and more, I'm loving this. Just the, I love that, you know, there are other couples on the show where the families do not get along with the husband at all for whatever reason. And yes, I'm looking at the Andre and Libby story, which we'll get to, but Colini and Oswelu did not have a good start. We know this.
Yeah.
So the fact that Colini's kind of in his corner and has given her support to him makes me believe that he's actually doing a good job.
Yeah, and you could tell he's a little less whiny, and he's still kind of acting like a child, but I do think that he was like cooking and he's, you know, he knows what he needs to do. Now, is he doing it consistently? That's up for debate, but I agree with you, Puya, that I think he's actually trying. He, you know, wants to contribute to his family and like be the quote unquote man of the family.
Yes. And I do think that this all goes back to when Oswelu was told, hey, I thought of divorcing you. I saw a divorce lawyer. That woke him up. That woke him up completely. And I'm loving it. I'm loving the path to redemption, repairing the relationship, however you want to call it. But the biggest obstacle will be next week when we see him back with his sister and his sister Tammy and his mother, who will be visiting. Here's hoping for the best. I want them to work out, so I really hope nothing comes out of that confrontation. But then also, as a TV viewer, I don't mind if there's confrontation because, again, mess equals fun for TV.
Listen, yeah, you don't have to tell me twice. Like, I am covering Love and Hip Hop for a wrap up. So obviously I love mess. Like, you know, call me Marie Kondo of RHAP. I love mess. But literally, I will say, I hope they remember their code word, Afi, fire, so that the fireworks don't start blowing up. So we're going to pray for you.
We're going to pray. Our fingers will be all the way crossed. I think that covers them. I don't think there's anything else that we have to talk about them. Again, the reason I wanted to start with them was because they were very, very short and sweet. Similarly to the next couple, short, but bitter, not sweet. I did not like them. I don't want to talk about them, but for formality, let's talk about Mike and Natalie. Sasha, the floor is yours.
Yes. So we, you know, see Mike, he's doing these tire workouts, which we love. You know, it's COVID, get your body in shape, you do you. He talks about how he has been very helpful. You know, like you said, the bar is on the floor at this point for the men on this show. So he's like, I've been helpful. I've taken time off. He has little baby tires for Natalie to work out. So, you know, they're passive aggressive working out together. Mike is, again, very much saying, I haven't brought up how she's acted, but I'm still pissed. I was left without a car and she still hasn't apologized, which I think, again, Puya, do you think that they wait for the cameras to come on so they can fight?
Honestly, with them, I don't even know. I feel like Mike waits for the cameras to show up to do his whole, like, I feel upset because I feel disrespected because she took the truck away from me and didn't have me be like, I think he hams it up for the cameras. Does he wait to be annoying? No. Does she wait to be annoying? No. I think they're both built this way. I just, you know, honorable mention to Mike's blue headband that he was wearing.
Oh, yes.
Like, he gave me these vibes, and I got a bunch of mentions about this as well over the last couple of weeks when we saw the preview. Where he looks like Mikey from Recess with the headband. So I'm like, I don't know what I'm all for the workout as someone who did gain weight during the pandemic.
Oh, very much.
Endorse it.
Yes.
I need tires to redeem myself, but also the headband was a choice. And they're the opposite of Lo. Lo chooses to protect this peace. They choose to violate their peace every day they're together. And it's not great.
Constantly violating each other. Like, Natalie literally says, I don't want to deal with drama. So that means that I'm going to willingly cause more drama to avoid the drama. Like, I never... Actually, no. I know girls in high school that were like this. I were like, I hate drama. So I'm always wanting to be you know, not with it. And then you see that they're literally the eye of the storm. And not that I'm saying Natalie herself is the eye of the storm. It's very much the both of them. They're both annoying. But Natalie's like, I want to concentrate on myself. Then why are you with him? Go home. Just go home.
And that's what I've always wanted to make sure I get across on this podcast, which is I don't like either of them. I don't think either of them are winners. I think both are losers. And look no further than, so Natalie is on the road to recovery from the surgery. Michael is still not letting go that surgery day, which he's making her surgery all about himself. And he last week talked about how I don't like that she's only asking me for help when it's convenient. When it's convenient to her, it was like literally that's when she needs it. And then I just feel like Mike's forgotten about that time where they were celebrating an anniversary and he just left her in the hotel and drove off with the pickup when they got into an argument.
My God, that is actually what I put in my notes. I was like, sorry, didn't you do this last time? Maybe now she can finally do it because she has a license for herself. Because I think I don't hate anything more than hypocrites. Like, what a loser. Like, that he's just in tunnel vision being like, I am wronged. I'm so sad. I'm the bad, you know, I'm the good guy. I'm the good guy. Shut, you're not. You're literally both are useless. And let's not forget, this man left her at the altar because his mom said so. Don't think I forgot that either, Mike.
Hey, don't bring Mama Trish into this, okay? Don't do it. I'm just
listen,
kidding.
As someone that's from Oklahoma, I feel like this bothers me.
You're like, we don't claim them. We don't claim them.
Like seeing them at the, like my home airport was the weirdest feeling ever. I was like, no, turn this off. I don't want to watch this.
It's like one of those odd moments where like, yeah, I don't want to be represented on television by these people in this airport. Yes. No, thank you.
I'm asking for good representation, people, not this.
From Oklahoma, not Mike and Trish, please. Yeah. So, I mean, it's very clear to me that with Mike's complex, Mike needs apologies. Mike's love language is apologize to me. Tell me you're sorry. Tell me that you've done me wrong. And how you have bothered me with your selfishness and your lack of respect for me. He needs that. It's like, you know, words of affirmation is one thing, but then words of regret and somber and sorry, that's what he needs. And I think with Natalie, what she wants is things to go her way in the sense that, and I'm not talking about during the surgery, because obviously when you've gone through surgery, everything should go your way because you're in the road to recovery. That I'm not combating. But everything else we've seen, she wants Mike to adapt to her and to adapt to her like lifestyle, to her way of living. So this has been a recipe made for disaster. I've been talking about them since December. I'm exhausted talking about them. But again, we'll be back talking about them next week. So they're not going anywhere.
Yeah, it seems like a pretty big blow up. Again, more emotion than normal from Mike next week. Do you think that they will be on the next season of anything? Because, you know, we have so many of these.
I don't think so. I honestly, my running theory with how many of the couples from last season's 90 Day being on this was it was still, again, peak pandemic. They're trying to record. They just brought the same people back that they've had to continue. I think after this season, they're not going to last. Like, they're gone. They're going to go their separate ways. And hopefully we go our separate ways.
From your lips to God's ears, as they say about these two.
I don't know what the opposite of the Wiz Khalifa Charlie Puth song is, but that's what I want. I don't want to see them again. Ever.
No, never.
Yeah,
it has been a long road and we are done with it.
It has. And like, here's the thing. The best part about them was Uncle Bo. Where's Uncle Bo? I don't care about y'all. I want Uncle Bo back.
He's off the oh, my God, the acres or the acreage. Like, he gone. I don't know where. Maybe he's with the neighbor. I forget. Amanda is her name. Maybe he's with her.
Yeah, he was the comic relief. And I feel like without him, it's just sad. Like, I'm just watching sadness. That's why just a little bit of, you know, for those of you who want to know a little bit about the background, when me and Sasha talked right before we recorded, we decided the order of people we want to go through. And it was like, okay, let's go with Kalani and Osweiler because we didn't get much from them over Mike and Natalie, because I don't want to start by being negative.
Yes.
I feel like with Mike and Natalie, there's no positives for me to discuss. So it's all negative.
Yes, eggs. Yeah. And like, again, I am not a mean person, or maybe I am, but like, I really don't like these two, and I don't know why they choose to be on TV. Like, the money cannot be that good to make yourself just look so sad.
I mean, I've discussed the money before. Yeah. From what I've gathered on the internet, it's $1,000 per episode, and then like $2,500 for the reunion or something, or $2,500 for the reunion or something. That's not a lot of coin. And also, it's not a lot of coin when you're going to get this much like backlash on the internet. So.
Yeah, I mean, I hope they're not on Twitter, because these streets are not nice to you. But I know that at least Natalie, because I don't follow her, but I check on her Instagram. So listen, you do you, get your own, you know, get the coin to be an influencer. But I just feel like there needs to be a better way than this, like, than humiliating, like letting this man humiliate you over and over again.
Also, just a complete aside, shout out to Amira, who was listening to our podcast last week.
Yes.
And that was very cool to see. Of course, for those of you who may not know or remember Amira was sadly entangled with Baby, aka Andrew. Ugh. So that's your recap of that. Appreciate Amira listening to this podcast. Let's go and talk about another couple of castmates from Amira's season of 90 Day Fiancé, and that is Jovi and Yara.
Oh, what a couple.
Yeah, so Jovi's back. He, you know, he worked for many months away from Yara, away from Myla. He's back, and he went shopping. He went shopping for Yara in preparation, Sasha, for Ukrainian Christmas.
Like I said, Christmas in July, but wow, I was very into all the different food. I would never eat it, but like the salmon roe, I mean, that's caviar, so it's not cheap.
No, not at all. Not at all. And I think that, so for me, I have known about Ukrainian Christmas. My first year of university, not only did I celebrate my first ever Christmas, I also celebrated my first ever Ukrainian Christmas, because for the Ukrainian Christmas, everyone was on campus, whereas Christmas, everyone was home with their families. So okay. We celebrated it. I mean, not with the traditional foods at all, but I like that Yara wanted to bring a part of her culture and her living to the family, because I do think oftentimes with some of these couples, it's like they aren't sharing both cultures. They aren't, like, you know, experiencing each other's culture. So I love to see this. Now, that's the good part. The bad part here is that I think they needed to plan a little bit better. So for this celebration, they're bringing in Gwen. Gwen's coming back for the celebration. And then it's Jovi's cousin, who is the godmother of Myla. Do I have that right?
Yes, correct. Claire.
Claire, there we go. Yeah. So they're coming over, but this isn't going to go quite the way I thought it would. Can you describe the events at dinner?
Yeah. So we, you know, get all these really sweet moments. Like, I think, first of all, I want to say that why does everyone keep going in on Jovi? Like, I was really trying to find the PC way of saying this, but, you know, turn a, you know what, into a housewife. And they're really going in on Jovi to say, wow, we thought you'd be the last one to get, you know, married, let alone have a baby, all this stuff. So it's already starting a little wild. And then everyone sits down. The food is on the table. Yara slaved many hours to eat it. And then immediately, Claire's husband, I think his name is Chris, I don't know, but I like him. And he said, oh, does this food smell to you, to Miss Gwen? What would you do if someone said that to you, Puya, about your food?
Oh my God. I would get upset, but I would definitely not show it. I'm very right. good. I'm very self-conscious about people thinking I don't like their food. And mm-hmm. as someone who grew up in a Persian household, the amount of times I've had my aunts and uncle out of my aunts and uncle's places, and they're like, well, you didn't like the food. You didn't seem to eat much. And I ate a whole plate. I ate like a big boy plate because they filled my plate up. And then they say that and I felt self-conscious. I'm like, no, I really like that. I'll have more. And like, I should probably be done. I shouldn't eat more. But I'm like, I want to go the extra mile to make sure people do not think that I don't like their food. So when this started happening, I was like, y'all need to be able to act a little bit at least. Even if you don't like, I could have played the facade up. I could have just eaten it, been fine. Everything would have been good. Because it's just, I don't want to make anyone feel bad, but that's my own problems that I have.
I understand that. Indians are like that too. I feel like when I was in high school, I was like 90 pounds, pretty skinny. So people would be like, oh, you need to eat more. And it's like, no, I run track so that every single day. So that's why I'm not losing weight. I'm, you know, metabolism. It's a right. thing. So I totally understand this moment of like being like, no, I just like I'm stuffed, but it's either shame on family or eat another plate. You're going to eat another plate. Like there's no other option. So I understand. I feel like Chris, like you could have been a little nicer about this. But again, I think the energy coming in was very much dogging on Jovi and, you know, being like Yara is a little high maintenance. Why does her food smell? It's kind of weird. And then
I love how small a standards Jovi has set up to where he's like exceeded all expectations by being a father. They're like, I can't believe this day has finally come. I can't believe you're doing this. And it doesn't seem like there's enough of like, seem to be doing all that much to like clear that pathway. But I will say, to me, the story of Jovi and Yara is no longer about Jovi. It's all about Yara. And the narrative has shifted completely because Yara, I believe you could classify Yara as a overly protective new mother, or I'm not sure how to phrase it, but she very much is attached to her baby, which I mean, I completely understand because she's had no one but Myla by her side while Jovi was away at sea.
Yeah, I very much agree with you because again, they started talking about Jovi and Yara and their relationship. Miss Gwen then started talking about, well, have you had mommy and daddy time? Which I appreciated Yara for clocking that to say, I mean, are you stressed that I'm not serving your son? This is a weird question. Like, don't do that. And I, again, appreciated that back. I think they have a very funny relationship, the two of them, like Yara and Jovi's mom. But either way, it seems like they're kind of doing that. And then I feel like Jovi drops the pretty big, bomb of saying, like, you're a psycho mom because they're trying to explain to Yara, let Myla be independent. But Yara says, no, one, I'm lonely. Second, Myla misses me. And then third, when Myla grows up, she wants her Puya to be in the backyard of their house.
Yeah. How are we talking about backyards now? Like, how are we there? We're at this apartment now. I mean,
yes.
it's wild, right? Because I think nothing Yara has done permits Jovi to call her, what was the phrase again?
Psycho mama.
Yeah, none of it. Nothing she has said qualifies him to say that at all. To me, I will say this is the part that I think Yara, again, I would have loved for them to have discussed it ahead of time as someone who, you know, thinks of logistics. So Gwen and Claire and Claire's husband drove 2 hours to come to this dinner.
Oof.
The dinner lasted about 90 minutes to 2 hours. And at 6 p.m., she wants them kicked out because it's Myla's sleeping time.
Right. And we know at this time that Myla sleeps in the bed with Yara and Jovi. Like, she doesn't have her own room or, you know, it's not like she's going to be alone. She's very much attached. So it's 6 o'clock and it's like, it's time to go. G-O. So I actually thought about this because, we're both immigrants. I feel like our family structure could be similar, where it didn't matter if I needed to sleep as a child. Like, my mom was like, you can just sleep here, you know, sleep wherever. You need to learn because we want to be around family. We want to be eating and hanging out and chilling. But Yara is very much like, everyone got to get out and it needs to be pin drop silence for my baby.
Yeah. So with my family and the way it worked, when we had a gathering, first of all, there were usually, especially from my experience, because I wasn't hosting, right? I'm the kid whose parents are hosting. There will be kids my age, cousins my age, so we'd be hanging out. So it didn't get tired. It was fine. But I've seen my mom be like clearly tired, but she would never tell people to get out because she's tired. People get out when they got out. And it was kind of like, I always feel like, to me, it's always been up to the guests to be understanding of when they're overstaying their, not their welcome, but when it's time to leave. Like, for example, my mom and her gatherings, usually they go till about, 11 midnight. Mm-hmm. And like, if it gets close to one now, it's like, okay, even though we're all having fun, we should really get going. Whereas with my dad and his family, it was more so, it's 8:30. All right, we should probably get out of here, get home by 9. Like, they were definitely a little bit more on that side. But again, the expectation was there and the understanding was already there. Like, we knew what we had signed up for when we're going to like this person's house versus this person's house. Whereas here, there was no warning that, hey, you're driving 2 hours for dinner and then you're leaving.
Yeah. And again, it's maybe because of the way I have grown up, but for me, it was very much you worked around your guests. So if your guests are staying, you need to figure out how, you're going to put the baby to sleep. Like, it doesn't matter how. And listen, I will say there, it's not like a two-story house where maybe the baby could move upstairs or whatever, or, be away from the noise, but like, go to a clubhouse. Maybe, like, if you figure something out, put a white noise machine on. I don't know. But I agree. I like to be around family. So I don't know that I would kick them out for my kid. But also, Yara, if you want to be in there with your kid and take a break, that's the best excuse to be like, actually, I need to take the baby to sleep so y'all can hang out. I'm out.
Yeah, because I do think so. It's very clear because in the next scene we see them in, they're going to go crib shopping. Mm-hmm. So they do not have a place to have Mila sleep. That's her area. So Mila sleeps again between the two of them in bed with them. Mm-hmm. But I do think it's a combination. Honestly, it's not just baby Mila that was needed her sleep. I think Yara wanted them out of the house as well.
Yeah, because she actually talks about, right, the Ukrainian party, where she says when it's Ukrainian party, it's you enjoy the food, you have fun, and then you GTFO versus, she said, this is not a Cajun party, which is what goes into the next day, them fighting. So,
yeah. And I will say, I did see a Reddit post where someone was like, well, I looked up Ukrainian Christmas celebrations. After that, there's carols and they do this. I'm like, well, every family does it differently. Like, not every family celebrates the holidays the exact same way. I do think that she's been trying to enforce this earlier turn in time into the house in general. We've heard her talk about 8 p.m. Like, when Jovi joked about everything's going to be closed by 8, she's like, well, you don't need to be out by 8, so it's fine. So I do think this is also something she's trying to add in. But I mean, obviously, the biggest takeaway for me in this relationship is that once Jovi walked out to go for this job for hella months, and then Yara said, well, you have to give me control of our day-to-day then because you are not here to have a say, she fully took it and ran with it. And she's kind of doing the thing that Natalie said was doing, which is she wants Jovi to completely convert to her way of living.
Yes.
And Jovi is hard-headed and stubborn and believes that that is not the way to live. He's like, I don't know about if I can do that. Like, how am I? I mean, he literally, Sasha, is suggesting a trip.
God. Like I said, this man does not understand that he has a whole family obligations to go for, because when they're driving to Nola, right, to get the crib, you can tell Jovi's like, oh, he's like on ESPN living his greatest highlights where he's like, oh, look, this is where I probably saw that stripper. Oh, that's where I probably threw up. That's where I got lost, you know, and like you could tell in his brain, he's like giving a tour of his life. So he's not ready for this. And then I bet you this man has probably dropped $600 on one night on bottle service. And now he cannot drop $600 for a crib, which is another stressful thing. But he's ready. He wants to be out. He doesn't want to, basically, he said he wants to get away from his life.
Yeah, I think that I think it's so complicated. And that's the beauty of 90 Day Fiancé, getting to, you know, deep dive into some of these relationships. Some of them we joke, some of them there's more of a complex situation to explore. And with them, it's interesting. Because I feel like Yara deserves some slack. Yara has literally been left in a country that she doesn't really know much about, alone, in an area that she didn't even want to live in, and he wanted them to live in. And now they've moved into her territory. They need to find the compromise and be in the middle. Right now, they're in her world that he can't live in. But before, they were in his world that she couldn't live in. They need to find what works for both of them. But also, Jovi has barely dipped his legs in the water, whereas I feel like literally Yara was swimming in the deep end of the pool while he was gone. And now that she's like, okay, come to my pool now. He's like, oh, he puts his toes, like, it's too cold, I can't do it. It's like, well, at least try a little bit, see where it takes you. But again, this is how Jovi is. And we knew he was like this. I will say, interesting note, Jovi was driving in this. So I feel like before we had speculated that he couldn't drive because they Ubered everywhere. But Jovi was driving, so we did see that. And but yeah, Jovi wants a vacation, and he feels like, old Yara is what he misses. He feels like he's with a new Yara that he doesn't recognize, and he wants the old Yara who would stay up late, who would hang out, and wouldn't do any of this stuff. And then, again, he calls her a crazy mom in the store, which was not a good look at all.
It's so disappointing, right? To hear someone like, she loves Jovi so much. She obviously loves being a mom and Myla, I think, more now. But it was so frustrating to hear this loser, you know, talk about how, I used to buy you lingerie. I don't know if this was at dinner, so sorry if I'm skipping forward. But, you know, talking about, oh, I used to buy you this and, you know, you used to stay out, used to do this. Like, let's think about it. She's basically become the milk person, right? Like, she literally has to be milked every 2 hours. She has to, you know, she's moved to an area with absolutely no help from her side of the family. Obviously, his family helps. Miss Gwen is there to help. But, you know, she's alone and she had COVID also. So I know that she couldn't see anyone because of that. And, like, give her a break, guy. Like, what is wrong with you?
Yeah, like, I think that ultimately Yara's push to have the schedule be a big thing with, like, okay, we're on the baby schedule, we cannot sway away from it. I feel like Jovi took that personally, and I can't blame him, because his mom did take care of her while she had COVID and took care of her and the baby while he was gone. So he doesn't want to kick her out like that. And on top of all that, it's his mom. Like, it's so hard to do that. But then I feel like he's taking it out on her a little bit here by just using that one day as a sample size of, wow, you've become this, like, obsessive mother who doesn't want to do anything else.
Exactly.
We're not having our husband and wife time, which, again, sometimes you might as well just say the words instead of dancing around it, because it feels weirder to say, like, husband, wife time, whatever they said. So I think that him suggesting a trip isn't bad if he's trying to get her a retreat or a relaxing time. But it's Jovi, so we know he wants to go and, like, do it up big time and have, like, bottle service, which I don't think that's what she's about anymore, or at the moment, at least. She's not looking for that.
That's what I was going to say. Like, I just think that's not who she is. So why should, you know, why are you doing that to her? Like, it's not fair. Plus, you have to meet your partner where they are, right? Like, why? Like we said, Yara needs to meet Jovi halfway. The child is, what, 4 months old? It's so hard. A new mom, like, I don't even think he's realizing the amount of hormones that are in play right now and how many issues she's having with just trying to, you know, wrap to get to her normal mental state. I'm not even talking about anything else. And then on top of that, you know, to worry about, like, your body goes through so much trying to have a baby. Like, what is wrong? Like, he needs to take a class of, like, understanding what happens to a woman when she has a baby. Like, he just, you know, gave the sperm and then kind of helped her out and then left, versus she actually, you know, grew a brain, a lung, a heart, you know, and actually, like, helped this child, you know, be alive, basically, because they're so fragile until, you know, a few months old. Right. So I don't know. Jovi can kick rocks at this point.
Yeah. Until they understand each other, find compromises, talk to each other, this isn't going to get fixed anytime soon. On the next time on, we see that I guess he wins. They're going to Miami. And I am worried about this trip. I think, because we've seen it in one of the previews, there's a strip club at some point coming up that they're both at. I think it's at this trip. It can't be anywhere else.
It has to be Miami vibes.
Again and again and again. You gotta, because I feel like Yara kind of put her life aside to raise this baby and to, you know, move over to, like, motherhood.
Yeah, to raise two babies now.
Right. And I think Jovi was like, I can figure it out. And it's like, well, at some point you gotta, like, kick it to high gear. So that's when I alluded earlier, making the joke about Asuelu having grown and someone not having grown. Jovi's one of the culprits. Jovi is one of those culprits that I think has not fully grasped what he signed up for, but we'll see. He's been trash. Can he untrash? Maybe not. Find out next week.
Praying for Jovi. I will say, this is my final thought. I think Julia and Jovi might make the better pair, because Julia wants to go live in Miami. She would love New Orleans. She, like, wants to, I think, live in this party city. You know, she would probably enjoy, like, dancing and go-go dancing, whatever, all of that stuff. So I will say, you know, if they were to ever switch. But Yara doesn't deserve, like, Brandon. I think Jovi and Julia might be the better fit.
Yeah, like, Yara's done nothing to have this happen, but I could see those two being a better matchup, given what we've learned about them in Julia and Jovi. All right, let's reunite, pun intended, with this next couple, and let's go over to the family reunion and let's talk about Libby and Andre, the never-ending saga of the family Libby.
Oh God, these. Like, bless their hearts, you know, the fact that they really think they're the 90 Day Fiance Kardashians, the way they act, the way they dress. I like, cannot with this family. Like, I'm over them.
Yeah, I have also been over them. I know that Rob loves them. And I will say, I can announce I have a couple of messages from Rob, a couple of takes that he's put out there that I'll sprinkle in. He did have a take about this family and this segment, so we'll definitely be putting those in here. I've been tired of them for a minute, and it's because none of it feels real to me. It yes. doesn't feel authentic, and it's exhausting, because it's been, first of all, they've been overexposed, they've been on too many seasons for my liking, and it's the same stuff every time. So here we go, let's just rip the band-aid and move into it. So they arrive at the family reunion. Libby's excited and she's very happy that, you know, they're all doing this for Chuck. Chuck's family loves Chuck and they want him to have the reunion he deserves, and they just want him to have a good time. However, you would have a tough time believing this if you listen to how these siblings interact with each other and throw shade on each other, because literally within the span of 30 seconds into their segment, we have this conversation going. There's a group conversation going on, and Becky throws out a little shade by being, hey, Libby, how's your babysitter working out? In front of, that's right, Andre, who, yes, does not know that they have a babysitter hired.
Did we know they have a babysitter hired? That's another thing where I was like, wait, did I miss this? So I liked being blindsided. This was fun for me, too. But Becky, you so shady. Like, she knew what she was doing. I refuse to believe this was innocent.
Yeah, I did not remember seeing this before. So I'm not a hundo sure that we knew about the babysitter getting hired. So,
yeah, which me. I liked it. But oh, that was so messy because, of course, immediately it was fireworks for Andre. Andre's pissed. And then, of course, Jen put her up to this, right? To be like, you don't need Andre to tell you if you should have a babysitter or not. Just have one. Live your best life. So, of course, Andre walks out and he's pissed.
Yeah, Andre's fuming because if there's one thing we've learned about Andre, he doesn't want, he took care of the baby while he was a stay-at-home husband. And now he expects Libby to do the same. And he does not want a babysitter because, and I'm quoting here, he thinks that it's sketchy and he doesn't trust just anybody taking care of their baby, which is, you know, fine. If you have your reservations about this stuff, that's cool. You know, it's your family, your choice. However, then in the middle of all these conversations, we hear that they had agreed upon just dealing with this until the pandemic is over. And then they were going to bring his parents over to take care of the babies. And so Rob texted me this. Rob believes that Andre full on didn't want a babysitter because he wants to use childcare as the reason why Andre's parents get to move to them.
Right. That was actually going to be my question to you, because was this like a, hey, they'll come for 6 months until we figure it out? Or was this like a, they moving to America?
No. I think they're moving because.
Wow.
I mean, unless it's like a temporary, like a 1 year move. I don't know. We don't know if the full details. This is the first time we've heard about this. Course. But I'm like, interesting that this had not come up until just this moment, because we had never heard that at all.
And even when they argued, he's never brought it up. And now that we've brought this up, is this also why he's so adamant about getting started on the business? Because he needs to be making his own money, because they can't live in that apartment if his parents are going to come over.
Yeah. Yeah. The finances, logistics, messiness. Like when I replied to Rob, I said, the last thing this family needs is more family members involved. Like that's the last thing we need is now Andre's family also showing up and being at this reunion. There's too much messiness already. They need not make it more difficult.
Oh, it's just so sad. And then Libby, of course, goes back to Andre, you know, and Andre's like, I'm stabbed in the back. And, you know, I thought all of this stuff. And then, you know, Cinderella's like stepsisters, I feel like, show up where they're like, you're throwing a tantrum. Why are you doing this? I don't understand. Which is like, let them just fight. Why do you have to like insert yourself in everything?
Well, that's my thing, too, is that I feel like why I feel like this is all kind of for show is that the two of them were clearly having their own issues, but they were playing it out together outside, away from the reunion, mm-hmm. to keep it civil. Right. And then here come Libby and Becky, and they're calling it a temper tantrum. They're clearly winding him up. He's already so upset about this. And you could tell with the shadiness in the confessional that they knew that he had no idea that this was full on, you know, we're going to say it in front of him to get a rise out of him. So I don't love them. I also feel like Andre's being super dramatic by saying you literally stabbed me in the back, and then also using the whole Airbnb booking mishap as a reason for why she can't make a choice in all this. Look, I'm sorry. Have you not made mistakes of that little magnitude before? Yes, the place didn't have parking. It happens. You know, you order something off a menu and it's not what you wanted. It happens. Like, that's not that big a deal. Like, if you mess up a Airbnb booking, I'm not saying you, like, I don't think that qualifies you. Yeah, you no longer have any say in the relationship. That is ridiculous to me.
Yeah, and what a Karen, like, Andre is becoming. Because it's like, first of all, Airbnbs, I feel like, are notorious for, you know, not, like, being 100% what you think. Or, you know, there's always some logistical issues with Airbnb. Like, I've never stayed at one. Like, I was just in Palm Springs last weekend, and we literally, it was 120 degrees Fahrenheit, and the AC stopped working. And they were like, oh, we don't have portable fans. Why do you not have portable fans in Palm Springs? No one knows. But the point is, like, stuff like this happens at Airbnb. To me, it's the most normal thing. And first of all, why are you taking an RV to like random places anyway? Like, park it somewhere, let it be, and then just take Ubers. Like, y'all love drinking. So why are you driving?
Yeah, I'm not quite sure what the decision was or why that was that big a deal to him. Mm-hmm. It happens. Like, Airbnbs don't disclose things all the time. I remember me and Liana booked one in Montreal that said air conditioning, and they had one little fan, no air conditioning. Like, yep. What can I do at that point? I've showed up and we've stayed at the place. Like, we're not going to find another place and like pay for two. That's not happening. So it happens. It's just, you have to deal. You have to deal with this stuff. It's not, yeah. And you don't blame your wife for it. I feel like that's the other, like, how was she to know better if they didn't disclose it?
Like, and also, if you're going to blame, right, it would be so different if it was them one-on-one, right? And then they're having this argument. Her whole family is there. They need a reason. They just need a look, let alone a cold comment. They just need a look to, you know, get started on dogging on him and why he sucks and why he's a snake, but they're the snakes. So, to me, wouldn't you have learned by now that, like, oh, I can't say nothing. I'm going to write it in my journal. And then when we get back to the apartment home alone, I'm going to, you know, have this conversation. Because aren't you embarrassed? Like, this is embarrassing.
No, I mean, here's the thing, though. The problem with that, Sasha, is that what you just did requires understanding, requires logic, requires patience, and requires the correct reading of a room. None of these people in this group have any of those. They're all unarmed when it comes to those weapons in their arsenal, all of them, because they actively know what bothers each other and they stay doing it in this, you know, over and over again. We see this clearly. Like, I pictured, you know, what I do with these couples is I always try and picture myself and Liana in their shoes. And if me and Liana had so much as half the disagreement about any of these things that Andre and Libby just had, I would not storm out like that. I would not let it show on my face. She would not let it show on her face. And we talk about it on the walk home. Like, that's how we do it. It's baffling, especially if you know there's going to be high tension after that and everyone's going to take sides and put blame.
Exactly.
Like, if you're Andre and you don't want to be in arguments with the family and you keep saying that Andre always says, I don't care what they say. I don't care about any of them. I don't want to talk to any of them, but he still goes ahead and does it. That to me is a problem, and that's not good, because the more he gives them face, the more they will try and get like his face involved by actively saying stuff to him.
Yes. And that's another thing where I'm a very short tempered person, where like any little thing will 100% like get me off. Like, I am ready to fight at a drop of a dime. But if other people show up, you know, or other people are around, I definitely have to be like, all right, Sasha, you can't go in on your husband just yet. Just remember, you got to do it later. You got to do it later. So I'm definitely learning. And I will say, I have been that person that has screamed, but never in front of people I know. Like, it's always in front of strangers, in front of family. Like, you have to just shut up so you don't look dumb and your relationship doesn't look dumb.
Yeah, especially I feel like with you know, in-laws and everything. Mm-hmm. The last thing you want as the newcomer to the family is to seem like you are putting your spouse in horrible moods, positions. You're yelling. Like, you don't want any of that, because that's stuff you can't just delete from memory.
Exactly. You cannot.
So, again, it's super uncomfortable as well from a viewer's perspective, because this is not the fun mess to me.
No.
The fun mess is next week when he's going to have cake thrown in his face. That's fun.
Yes. Yeah. And I'd rather them fight like that. Whereas here, I just felt like, again, it was gross. It's messy. I don't need it. It's just like, it's shady. It's shadiness that I'm like, you're all playing each other and none of you are winning. Even though you might have won a battle, you're definitely not winning the war.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And then all of this is happening, but they move on, right? They change the scene for us. We go to another couple. Yay. Thank you, TLC. Then we go back to Libby and Andre's story. And here it is. Lovely scene. Andre, Chuck, and Thomas are playing foosball. And I love foosball. So this was a very fun moment for me. I loved seeing them chop it up, just hang out, whatever. Chuck is feeling the love from Andre. He's appreciative that Andre drove them over and everything was smooth, or smooth for Andre standards. Mm-hmm. So there's a big compliment. But then, and this is key, folks, Chuck initiates the preliminary talks of partnership. Chuck talks about a new listing he has available, and he wants to partner with Andre, show him the ropes using this specific listing. They work this one together and they split the profits. And they're happy. Andre is happy. Chuck is happy. I'm happy. They've got, their relationship is good. Andre's clearly respecting Chuck and trying to do things for Chuck as well. But then, and I thought, hey, Thomas and, you know, Andre, they agreed on the RV last week that, you know, everyone else was being over exaggerative and they, like, you know, bonded. Mm-hmm. But then Thomas went full Tekashi 6ix9ine, left them, went to flipping Jen, and was like, Jen, they're talking about a property upstairs.
Yeah. So here's the thing where I actually immediately called it, where I was like, you know, Thomas isn't nice, but he ain't that nice. And he's definitely, he married to Becky. So he 100% does not want to, you know, have anyone else's back but Becky's. So I saw it coming. I was like, you stupid. This man gonna snitch all around town. And he did. He sang like a damn canary.
Yeah. Yeah. He said everything. He said everything. He listed it all out. And they obviously are not going to let this slide, because to them, the issue has always been, or the story has always been, Andre is a master manipulator and is working our dad over. To them, again, Andre would win Big Brother if they had anything to say about it. That's how much they rate him. You know, step aside. There's an Andre Giesling, folks, out here doing the most, killing them, doing the mist. Like, they really speak that way of him. But I can't say they speak highly of him, because they speak it like he's there for the nefarious purposes. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's there to get that money, but that's not nefarious. They're seeing him trying to get money as nefarious, because to them, Andre is taking food out of their mouths by doing so. But to me, and this might be just me, I see nothing wrong with this. This is a new property that Chuck said, this is split between me and him. Exactly. You guys, your properties, they stay there. So what's the problem?
No, the problem is one. This is what I said. I think the last time we've talked about these people, because it's the same conversation every time, is like, one, Jen, the whole family, basically, don't do a lot of work. And I think Andre is now going to come in, you know, they're already doing bare minimum. And then now you have to switch the bare minimum, or not switch, split the bare minimum to a bunch of people. So I think they're going to get found out that they're not doing shit. And that's exactly why they're mad, is what I think it all comes down to.
Yeah, I mean, nothing about this business has ever seemed legitimate to me. Like, I just do not, I cannot picture there being any legitimacy. When Becky was like, I'm the listing agent, I'm like, that's just the title he said you are. Like, I don't think there's, again, there's no, like, I don't feel like it's formal. It's very informal. So to me, I see no problem in it, but clearly they do. But it's weird, because it's like, we want our sister to be happy, but also we don't want her husband to make money and provide for our sister so that our sister is happy, so that our niece is happy. So it makes no sense to me what their angle is. They just don't like him. That's really all it is.
No, want him to, like, be the janitor, because, you know, that's because Chuck said this actually last time, right? Charlie said it last time, where he said, you know, immigrants, like, start from the bottom and then da 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 da. But it's like, first of all, your dad didn't start from the bottom. Looks like the aunt gave the loan. So that's number one.
Charlie didn't start from the bottom.
Thank you. Also that. And then he said, immigrants, you know, start from the bottom. So they basically want this man to do what, you know, in their minds, immigrants do, right? Is like, oh, be janitor or unskilled jobs, essential worker, unskilled jobs. Like, to me, that's probably what they want him to do, which is like, get a life, get a grip. There's no way he's doing that when he has Chuck ready to go.
Yeah, well, like, that's the thing is that, you know how a lot of, especially with my family, my dad said this, my mom said, you know, we went through all of this so you wouldn't have to.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so when Chuck is trying to like give him this opportunity, he doesn't have to start from the bottom. And again, he is linked to your sister. Why is this such an issue? It's just more of the same of they want to monopolize this easy money and they don't want to have to split it an extra like percentage now. But if they think about it on a deeper level, Andre's essentially taking Libby's spot in the business because Libby's like going to be working at the moment. So it's not like it's brand new money that you will never get your hands on. Listen, all of this is to say, this is why I feel like this argument stuff is annoying and almost fabricated. I think they're angling for that spinoff show. I really do think so. I think they want to be the family Chuck or the family Libby. Like the family Chantel spinoff. And I don't see it for them because it's not all that.
It's not all that. It's literally the same fight, different location, right? Like it doesn't in an RV, in someone's house, in the winery, in, you know, in Florida, wherever. Like it doesn't matter where that's all these people do is fight. So again, I don't find that there's much depth to this fighting besides them hating Andre for breathing and then Andre hating them for being snakes. Mm-hmm. So sorry about it. You not getting it.
No. And I will be talking about them more fondly next week when we see them hurling cake at each other. Yes. That's fun. And I can't wait to talk about it. But for the most part, we leave them here in Maryland at this reunion with the opinion of, I'm not convinced.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I'm ready, though. I'm ready to get into the international terminal and fly over to South Africa to talk about Tiffany and Ronald, who are back again. So tell me your thoughts on Tiffany and Ronald, because they are a couple that we just haven't seen in a long time. And I want to get your take on them.
Yeah. So, you know, I have followed them since 90 Day Fiance the other way. So I'm very invested in them because, you know, I've seen like their origin story. I've seen on Twitter, like a lot of people kind of dogging Tiffany to be like, she's not happy. What's the point? La, la, la. But I really just don't like them together. I don't think Ronald's a bad person. I just think together they make each other so like naggy and sad. And it's a very toxic relationship. And I'm hurting for Daniel in this where again, you know, how like we like to be jokey and fun about these people. But this one is where I feel like I was like, no, this is Daniel's real life. And I don't like this.
Yeah, Daniel, I mean, I've talked about this at length where I feel like Daniel's pretty much been forced to be a parent at age 10, 11.
Yep.
And it's not a healthy place for him to be at the moment, given how Tiffany and Ronald are constantly having this custody battle of who's going to get us for Christmas. And it doesn't help when Ronald is going out of his way to like, for lack of a better term, emotionally blackmail Daniel into supporting him and like using a more expensive tree. We talked about how Kalani and Asuela's tree didn't seem like much. He did the most with his tree where they spent $700 on Christmas decorations. So that is a lot. And to be Daniel in this point, it's just you're in a rock and a hard place, isn't it? Like you're not trying to, you know, you don't want to actively pick a side and make the other side upset. So you're just in this weird purgatory of feelings. And I don't like that for him. And I just don't see how he can recover because it's just getting worse here, especially because in this episode, we basically find out that Ronald is still mad at Tiffany because Tiffany talked to his mom and he thinks that she made him look bad. And then and then he talks about how he thinks talking about your emotions is a weakness. And for the quick summary of Ronald, Ronald wants the more traditional gender norms in the relationship. I think safe to say he wants to be the man in the relationship. And to him, that defines the man is defined by being the head of household, making all the major decisions and having the support of his wife, no matter what.
Yeah. And this is a line that really grinded my gears because he said, you know, being South African, it means that a male and, you know, being the head of household means my decisions and me are always going to be higher than you and yours.
Right. And
what? No. And I appreciated Tiffany saying it's not because I'm American, because we know a TLC and the cast itself likes to be like, I'm American, which our next
Angela loves waving that flag for sure.
Yes. So in many ways, what we found out. But anyways. God.
Oh, no. I'm scared.
No. But, you know, she says it's because I'm a person and I have common sense and like no one should be above anyone. And I will say, you know, cue TLC, I don't want no scrubs, TLC the band, because this man makes zero money, but really wants to puff out his chest talking about, I, you know, am the head, listen to me. What have you done to prove that you deserve this besides painting a room last minute and giving a child, you know, like, whatever, the paint fumes like overload. So to me, I'm not Team Ronald because I just feel like he's talking a lot, but actions are zero. Like for him, the bar is on the floor where if he paid for one thing, Tiffany would like him more. That's how sad this situation is.
Right. And I was someone who initially when it came to that new room, I was like, you know what? I actually like this room, this effort he made to do something for Daniel and to, you know, make Daniel stay a more pleasant one.
Mm-hmm.
But then the more we've seen, I'm like, wait a minute. Do we know for sure that Ronald's last name isn't McDonald? Because there's some clownish behavior here. And this conversation really does it for me, especially because I am the man in my marriage in the sense that I'm the male counterpart. However, we don't follow any of those roles. And I think it's because we know who brings what to the table and who is better at what. Like, I don't think that should ever outright make it. And any decision is 50-50. Some decisions we lean on one person, some decision we lean on the other because they have a better knowledge of whatever the decision is. They have better understanding. They have better capability. That's how it should be. So I very much did not like this conversation either. Especially, here's the worst part. We have literal visual evidence of Ronald not being able to make very smart decisions because Ronald is willing to go into credit card debt to keep this family in South Africa because he misses them. But And the way he's trying to do it is to buy the favor of Daniel, like the
and not even through food, right? Like, which is like something that the family would actually benefit from, but instead a tree that will die. Maybe it was plastic tree, I don't know, but you know, something that is so temporary versus like nourishment. So priorities are so all out of whack. And then he talks about women are made from the rib of the man, not from the top of the head. And it's like, okay, oh sorry, I got the hiccups.
No problem. Oh, yeah.
But you know, talking about, oh, I, you know, rap, like you're made from the side. Okay. So that means your man, your woman or your partner should be on the side of you, right? Because your ribs on the side doesn't mean it's under you. Like a woman has not come from your feet or come from Adam's foot. So it's so ridiculous. Like this analogy of like woman is made from rib of the man. Like I will, as someone that does Torah study, like I can go deep into this and I won't, but like it's the most misused line to keep women like down. It's like, that's not what God said. Like it's from the side. So you should be equals.
I just feel like doing the whole literal, trying to use this as like reasoning again, to me is baffling simply because. And we'll get to this portion now for me, Sasha, that frustrates me, is that as someone who's gone through this visa process,
mm-hmm.
the way Ronald has already gone to Hedges' bet because another scene we see in this episode that he is going to a car dealership because he wants to get a pickup truck to start handyman work to make money to, you know, prove the family's good. And then when Tiffany combats him by saying, hey, we don't have money for you to spend on this right now, he says, I'll make it back with the handyman work. But he's doing this because in his head, if the visa gets rejected in 3 months, I can have something for us to fall back on and I'll have enough money made that they'll move to South Africa. So the more and more he has this mentality of it's not going to work out, they have to come to South Africa, the worse things will get, because he is shown he's shown to be incapable of doing things Tiffany's way. Mm-hmm. Not because it makes he can't handle it, but I think because Tiffany wants that and he can't let Tiffany make that decision. I think he's incapable of letting that happen, because for some reason, if he doesn't, again, he is the same guy who said, I don't like talking about my emotions because that's a sign of weakness to me. And as someone who literally bears his emotions on the internet weekly, mm-hmm. I took offense to that because I'm like, come on, that's not a weakness. That is ridiculous. There is so many issues I take with the way he's trying to approach this. And what once was me seeing him as, oh, he made the room, that was really nice, it's all manipulation tactics for them to stay in South Africa. I don't think he has any intention of going to the US or believes that he will.
No, not at all. Because why in 3 months aren't you supposed to be like wrapping up your life, right? Like if you allegedly have 3 months left, then hopefully, you know, God willing, you can go back be in America. Why are you making reckless decisions? And then he just keeps saying, oh, you put a bummer on everything I do, which is like, what a gross thing to say to your partner. Because if this is your partner, it should be that you really care about each other and that you want to, you know, try to make it work. So it's like, how do I make you happy? Oh yeah, let's like talk through our financial decisions instead of buying a whole like truck that you're probably gonna have to put so much money in, because that truck did not look like it was gonna withstand a test of time.
It did not. I'm assuming it was a used truck. It looked like a smaller truck. Let me just quickly do the conversion, because it was 45,000 rand, right? So
yeah,
that was about $3,000, a little over $3,000 for that truck. Mm-hmm. But we just saw them spend $700 on Christmas decorations and about $400 on groceries. And what Tiffany said wasn't wrong, where every time he's tried to do something to prove, hey, I'm doing something, it's been doing this big money gesture, but not a logical gesture. So when she said we didn't need to buy the whole store, she's right. You needed to just buy the stuff to eat. For Christmas stuff, you could have got minimal. I think he thinks the more money he sinks in, it's almost like a financial anchor of, well, we have all these investments in South Africa. You surely don't expect me to leave this all here, do you? We spent like $5,000 here in the last 3 months. We can't just leave.
Exactly. Exactly. To me, I think he's smarter than he puts off. And it's actually that he is being smart and he's like, how do I kind of get this going for myself and get them kind of anchored there? And if I were Tiffany's dad, you need to pull out of this sponsorship, because you're really about to get screwed, I think.
Well, the wonder here is, I mean, obviously, we're seeing this episode now. This is months past when they actually recorded. But I wonder if Tiffany's dad will end up subscribing to Lowe's mentality of, I'm going to protect my peace and not watch this show. So maybe he'll never know.
Well, his bank account not going to get protected if he does that, because it's going to be right forever that you are now stuck. Unless those laws change. I don't know if they've changed already.
This is where Liana's expertise would come in handy. I believe the financial burden that you take on, I think it's for the temporary green card for sure. And then I think for that first green card as well, I think after 10 years it's done, or it might be forever. I'm not 100% sure.
It had changed with, I think, was it these two or Kalani and Asuelu? Oh my God, I can't even.
I think it was Andre.
Because
Andre is furthest ahead of everyone, right? Where Andre is about to get his 10-year green card, I believe.
Yeah, but I think, oh, you know what? I think it was Kalani and Asuelu because she went into the divorce lawyer. This is when, and the divorce lawyer said that now the new laws might be changing on what it was under President Trump, that you're now stuck for, you know, for life. It's not just like for the whatever limited amount of time. But the lawyer said like, hey, but it's most likely going to get changed back. So I'm not 100% sure. The listeners can tell us, but, or Liana, of course, please, queen. But currently I'm stressed for dad because I was like, you're stuck with this man for a long time and we don't need that. Like, I don't want that for you.
Yeah, no, I mean, he is the other person I was talking about who has not gone the Asuelu route of growing up and, you know, evolving in his mentality of what his relationship even specifically. I'm not saying he has to abandon everything he's learned. No one's saying that, but recognize what your relationship requires. And it's not whatever you believe it to be. It's what you both need from each other. And she is openly telling you what she needs from you. She has openly been honest with you and you are being honest back, but you got to realize a compromise has to come at some point. And until you let go of this fact that you are staying in South Africa and you're making them stay no matter what, he will not learn to adapt. I think because he sees that plan B so clearly, he's not willing to go all in on plan A and attempt to improve himself.
Yes. Yeah. His feet are in two boats, right? So he's always going to be wobbly. And I don't know why Tiffany hasn't clocked that yet, or maybe she has, but she doesn't want to come to terms with it, which I unfortunately understand, but girl, please see it. Cause I think maybe Ronald needs another man in his life that can, I think, ground him and, you know, kind of show him the way that isn't Tiffany or his mom.
Yeah, I think that, with Tiffany, at least, I think there's almost, because like obviously with the 90-day process, aside from the fact that they had a baby together, that Daniel is, you know, all in on calling Ronald dad, and it's pretty much Ronald has become his dad. Like, she has two kids involved in all this as well. Aside from that, going through this application, really, you're investing so much of your money, your energy, your time, your love, your faith, your patience. You're investing so much into the 90-day process that it's so hard to call it quits. So I think there's part of her that is hoping and wishing and feeling like they can make it work. But you can tell Tiffany's starting to be done with it though, Sasha. Like, aside from the fact that she went to the divorce lawyer, unlike Kalani, I don't see Tiffany, you know, being happy where she is. It's just a miserable time for her.
And I want her to almost see herself, which I hope she does watch the show so that she can, you know, kind of understand. But I believe they're still together. I mean, no spoilers, but yeah, it seems like they're still, actually, no, I'm looking at her Instagram and I don't see him. So I could be wrong, but either way, like, it's very, I don't know. It's sad. I hope she's looking back at this and seeing how Ronald is making her into such a bad guy.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the thing, is that she has to be the bad cop.
Yes.
With the kids, which I don't think is fair.
And very toxic for her relationship with her child. Like, I don't want that for, you know, and again, poor Daniel, right? Like, what is he growing up with? Because he's constantly going to have such anxiety and such like frustration at probably both of his parents. So it's it's very sad.
Very, very sad. I mean, we're going to monitor their situation, obviously, as the weeks come. Let me see. Next week, are they on hiatus next week?
I don't think we saw a next time for them.
Good. I would like a breather. We've been getting a lot of Tiffany and Ronald. I think let's let it sit for a little bit, because I don't think the worst has yet to come. However, the worst is about to be arriving here on this podcast, because we're about to unwrap whatever happened with Angela and Michael in this episode.
Literally.
My God, it was a lot. It was a lot, Sasha. It was too much.
Oh my God. I literally, I just want the listeners to know that I was like, I'm going to have to talk to Puya about this. And then a lot of people are going to hear us talk about these two, but really just Angela and her wild tactics. Like, why does she do this to us constantly?
Yeah, I would like to put a warning ahead of this.
Yes.
We're going to be talking about some explicit content here of the sexual nature, if you will, because this is a thing that has happened in this timeline with Angela and Michael. So I don't know what that means to you. If that means you're skipping, if that means you're going to put headphones on, I don't know. I just felt it right to disclose to you where we're about to go.
Yes. This roller coaster is like went from a kiddie coaster to like the Velocicoaster legit. So get ready, people.
Yeah. But I mean, let's start a little bit. Let's start with there's a psychic that's coming through. So Angela wants Michael to meet with a psychic because she wants to mend things. Angela can't quit. She can't quit smoking or Michael. She can't quit either. So she wants them to mend things. And here comes Tracy, the psychic. Dressed in full, like if you can picture a psychic in a movie, she's dressed in that attire, like the what you would imagine a psychic to wear.
Yeah, I actually wrote that again in my notes where I said Tracy the psychic is dressed like what we think psychics look like. So I don't know that this is not. I mean, I've gone to someone that and had my tarot cards read, and they did not dress like this. Like, that's that belly dancer skirt that all these people culturally appropriate, and she put that, I feel like, on her head.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know much about the world of psychics, okay? So if I'm speaking out of line anywhere, people on the audience, I mean, anyone, if you're, you know, at me on Twitter, at Puyism, Patreon group, Discord, anywhere you can find me, correct me if I'm wrong. I want to make sure that I'm willing to learn, okay? But I felt like, because we've seen other psychics on this show and other shows who don't wear any of this stuff.
Yes.
Does this legitimize it or delegitimize it? And personally, I lean to delegitimize it because it seems like you're dressing it what makes you think people think would be effective. I don't know. I really don't know.
Yeah. And as someone that has been to psychics, but like, I don't have one on call. I definitely see it as like a fun thing to do on the side. Like mm-hmm. whenever, like, I think the last time was years ago that I even did this, but still they don't dress like this. If someone dressed like this, I would leave. Cause I would say, first of all, the cultural appropriation, like, you know, for you, as a Persian man, for me, you know, as like South Asian, like our culture has become like everyone's costume at this point. So I would immediately be like, you're not real. I'm out.
Yeah. It's like, no. Yeah. So anyway, here comes Michael into the call. Yes. So it's a Zoom call psychic reading, of course, if you couldn't gather. And as you can imagine, again, we didn't need to really cover this. As you can imagine, Tracy, the psychic, everything leans towards Angela's right. Michael tries to reason. Michael says, well, for me, in order for this to work, I think Angela needs to give me some space. And Angela gets so mad that he says this. So mad.
So I will say my husband was in the other room when I was watching this last night. And Angela's reaction, my husband literally was like, oh my God, is everything okay? Because as soon as Angela heard that he wants space, she didn't even let him finish because that's not actually what he meant. Angela goes, then you shouldn't have gotten married. B word. Like, she dragged him to filth. And Puya, I just want to know, did you find Tracy? And, you know, I don't like to call women aggressive, but like Tracy was aggressive. And I don't know why.
I mean, I think that It was very much he was pushing everything onto Michael.
Yes.
And alleviating Angela of any blame, which that is another thing to me. Again, I don't know what the cards were saying. So maybe the cards just did end up being, you know, overwhelmingly in Angela's favor. But at one point I was like, why is there no gift for Michael here again? And we've talked about this with Angela and Michael before. Angela is very much my way or the highway, and she will do and say things to Michael that if Michael said 1% of that back to her, she will lose her mind on him. So Mm-hmm. When he says more space, she didn't let him finish. And she just went all in on him. And it was very, very intense. I did not love that at all. And Tracy picked a card saying that they're going in different paths. And then Angela asks the question of the cards and says, is Michael scamming me? And the card said, if you believe he is. And then Angela said, I don't know what to believe.
And yeah, here's where tarot cards can get. And I know that, sorry, they were angel cards. I want to make that clear, but that's just what I'm used to. That's why I'm using that word. But anyway, they're very much up to like what the interpreter, the person speaking about it, you know, will tell you. So let's say I know you. So I'm definitely going to be a better, you know, quote unquote psychic because I can actually relate it right to your real life events because I know you. So when you see a do you believe card, I would, you know, say like, oh, that means the two of you really need to work on it. It really seems like what is in your heart will come true, right? That's how I would interpret that card. But Tracy really dragging Michael again because she says, you know, it shows that you need to, you know, whatever you believe, Angela, is true, period. And I feel like Angela was the sane one where she was like, well, I do love Michael, so maybe I do want him to change, and maybe that is what I believe, but I do think he's scamming. I'm not sure. Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, and all of this solved nothing. Shocked to none of us. Solved nothing. All it does is make Michael buckle down. Crumble.
Yes.
In the next segment, we're fully, it's Michael time. We're just seeing Michael. And Michael basically is in a position where he apologizes and he says, I'm sorry. He wants to move past this. He wants to mend the relationship. And this is right before the scene prior to this, Angela literally told the camera she doesn't think there's hope for this relationship. So Michael apologizes. And then she tells Michael that he needs to stop this man, BS. And she says she's ready to put this BS behind them. And then this is where we segue into, it's been a minute since Michael and Angela have gotten intimate and especially since the surgery, they've not had this. So then in the final segment, we see them. Oh, Angela calls Michael from the bathtub. She's got, you know, drawn herself a bubble bath and she's hanging there. And Michael gets on the call. Michael's like, ooh, excited. And then, you know, I feel like, and I want to openly talk about this. I'm not shy to talk about it. I feel like they don't understand how this works.
Yes, very much that. Because like I said, everyone, just to set the scene, like she is only covered by bubbles. There is nothing else. There is some blurring happening. So you could tell that, you know, the poor camera person had to definitely see a lot and be part of this. But Angela, and I quote, right, says, we do this to tease, not to please. So it very much seems like they don't believe in like completion. They just want to like tease and show their bodies off to each other.
Yes. Yes. Which, listen, your choice, Angela and Michael. You do you, boo. Like, it's all good for me. You do you.
Well, you literally can't do you. That's the problem.
Right. They cannot. They cannot. Oh my God. So then she does the reveal, the moment she's been waiting for, where she's going to show Michael her breast post the surgery. As we've been told multiple times, Michael likes big boobs, and now the boobs are smaller boobs. And Michael was very supportive to her face on the call. Very supportive. He loved it. He was like, this is good for me. And then in the confessional said he didn't love it, but he was very much supporting in the moment, which I thought that was at least good.
Yeah, exactly. And Over the past three segments, the biggest thing we have gotten from Angela is that, you know, she really, what it all comes down to is like, she's really wanting to, you know, be together and being told that she's beautiful, you know, that he still loves her, no matter what body she's in, all of that, right? So we underlying, and like the way she communicates that is very toxic and awful, but it seems like at the end of the day, she just really wants him to kind of give her that reassurance, like words of affirmation. And he wasn't doing that. So finally, it seems like he's saying he's hot and bothered. He's, you know, excited by her. And she likes that. And that's what she wants.
Yes, yes. I think she likes that he is, again, I think that's her way of getting validation.
Yes.
That he is still all about Angela, yeah, right? And I think that helps. And then he talks about being hot and bothered. So then she asks him to do a little bit of teasing and a little bit of dancing. And then she says a quote that I literally would not want to repeat on, on here. It's in my notes.
Oh, God.
But yeah, let's just say, what's another word for a turtle? Okay. and it was on fire. All right, we move. She said it, not me. She said it. Okay. And then here's the thing, though. Okay, here's the thing. That's not even the worst thing, Sasha, because on the next time on, Michael wants to go get his sperm tested.
Yes.
And Angela's angry because in order to get that tested, you have to extract.
Yeah.
And then she says that if he wants to do that, she has to be on the phone with him to do that.
Yeah, you better not do any of this without me in the room. Like, again, it's so bizarre how she wants him to almost be this like puppet to be like, did I say jump? I said it now. So now you need to jump high. Did I say you could like sleep? Great. Now it's time to sleep. Cause you know, she calls him at 3 a.m. his time. So it's a very, again, just very weird. And you could tell that he wants to, I don't think assert dominance, but he just wants to like have a voice. And even with like some fertility things, she's not letting him live. Like it's, Michael, you don't need this.
Yeah, so unlike Tiffany and Ronald, where Ronald's like, I'm the man and I have to have all like the most say, Michael just wants to have equal say. I think Michael would even sign 51-49 major like partnership to her.
Oh, 100%. He just
wants to have some say. It's not even all that much. I mean, this is the whole like the whole obey thing all over again from last season where in the vows it said to obey and Angela was like, I'm sorry, what? I will not obey. Never. It's like, you know who you're marrying. He's not going to do that to you. He's not about that. He just wants to discuss stuff with you and he doesn't get to have that. And then there's moments like this where she'll say all this to him and say, nope, I have to monitor you. I have to track you. But then, you know, she'll go about her own way. And if he ever said again, 1% of any of this, she would unload on him. So it's not, Michael does not need this aggravation. He is very patient. And we'll see where they go from here. Also, I would like to note, Sasha, did you notice that when Michael called her to do his apology in that second scene, she was already smoking. So I would just like 100%. To revisit what I said, which is when she keeps saying, Michael's making me smoke, she was smoking before Michael even called her there.
So. Yeah. And to me, she's going to say, well, no, I saw him calling. So I lit a cigarette before I called him. Like, that's what I think she would say.
Like lighting a cigarette is a three-step operation. Like by the time she lights that and takes a puff, he's off the call. He's not called. So...
Oh my God. I know. This is why we need to examine the length of the cigarette and be like, oh my God, let's talk about it. Like, she's such a mess. Like, and then her, like, I'm an American. I do what I want. Oh. Like, why does she have to sprinkle that into everything? Literally everything. Even when they were, I think, in the tub, she was like, no, it's not just about, you know, like sexual things. We need to talk about emotions. You need to make me feel pretty because that's what American women want. Like, what is you saying, boo? What?
I don't know. Yeah, she always brings patriotism into it.
Yes.
I'm all aboard everyone being proud of where they come from. 100%. 100%. However, I feel like it didn't make sense here to me. Like, it just didn't. It was like, you tell him what you want, what your needs are. Like, because again, not every American person is the same. Not every Nigerian person is the same. Not every Persian person. So you can't just generalize, but be like, yeah, Persian men, we like this. No, we do not like this. Okay, that's not a thing.
Yeah, I love even the doctor. We're like, oh, West African men. And I was like, what is wrong with you?
Like, bro, you can't just generalize that. Like, that's not, like, you don't know the guy. You've never met him. You're just like, yeah, I know how to read him. Like, no, you do not.
Just because both of your names is Michael and you're from West Africa. Like, stop.
Ooh. Right? Yeah. It was a lot. I can't believe we went through it. And I think we came out of the other side completely fine. I am already traumatized, though, Sasha, by this Michael and Angela segment next week. Already traumatized.
Yeah.
But we'll get there. One last thing before we leave, though. Mm-hmm. I want your takes on Brandon and Julia, who we did not get to see this episode.
Yeah, I like Brandon and Julia. They're very like meh to me where they use Google, people. I know I say this every time I feel like I'm on the podcast, but like one, Julia needs to find pole dancing classes instead of going to the gym because pole dancing is very in. People will like it, you know, and she can get a job. That's one. Secondly, Brandon's parents are the worst, most narcissistic people ever. They're so manipulative. They really make him feel like, you know, crap for wanting to be on his own. So I'm thankful that they're finally moving out. Like, thank God.
Right. Like, it's about time that they leave.
Yes. And
I think that it looks like based on the next time on, Brandon's going to have a little bit of reserve and a little bit of worry. But he's you know, leaving the nest for the first time ever. So, of course, he's going to be a little bit worried. We'll see how that goes, though.
Exactly. It's just, it's sad. And, you know, I wish the best for them. But to me, like, I feel like Brandon's very much the, like, small town guy. And that's why I feel like he should have stayed, you know, at the farm and been with someone that isn't, you know, having big dreams.
Yes, I agree. And we'll see how they go. Julia has fallen down on my power rankings over the course of the season.
Yes.
She's be up there. She's lower now. We'll see how they play out and how they go, next week. But, I wanted to quickly address this, for the listeners. So I've been getting questions about whether or not I will be talking about 90 Day. Like Caribbean Love, new spinoff, the Love in Paradise, that's happening. I intend on doing it, but I think I'm not going to have the guests worry about that. The way I vision this happening is at the end of podcasts, I will do a little segment. I'm going to call 90 Second Fiance. It'll be a little bit more than 90 seconds. I want to give myself like about maybe 5-10 minutes tops talking about that. So that you have that bit of fill as well, if you will be watching this, because I will be. It's part of the 90 Day universe. It's canon. So I will be checking it out for sure. We're going to call it 90 Second Fiance because that's flashy, but there's no world where you can get me to talk about something for only 90 seconds. It's just not a thing.
Period. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. So that'll be fun. Sasha, I had an amazing time. This was a lot of fun today.
Me too. Thank you so much for calling me back. Just, you know, I love 90 Day Fiance. I love Hot Mess Express. I'm here.
Yeah, and we're happy to have you. Let the people know, where can they find you? What projects do you have going on? Let them know.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at funsize_04 to keep up with everything I'm going on. And the biggest thing is, if you could all download, watch, let me know your thoughts for the new Love and Rehab Up, where Bryce and I, actually, he was my first guest, covered Love and Hip Hop Atlanta. Again, it's in its 10th season, but you really don't need to have a lot of background. Like, you can jump in kind of like 90 Day Fiance, and the storyline kind of takes over every season. So don't feel stressed that you don't know anyone. Like, listen to it. It's a good time. We know Bryce is always a good time. And I'll be on a few other RHAP podcasts this week. So follow my Twitter for that. And then if you want to know more Survivor stuff, you can follow Silent Podcast on YouTube. And I'm covering Survivor South Africa there.
Lovely. Yeah, I fully intend on watching this season of Love and Hip Hop Atlanta for my inevitable appearance on your podcast.
100%. But
I'm going to try my best not to do any prior digging into the older seasons to get the knowledge. I want to come in a little bit blind, I think, and just having watched like the 5, 6, however many episodes of this season, so I can ask all the questions.
Yes, I cannot wait. And there's a new cast member, so that's why you'll see that we're still learning them too. So it's not like everyone from past is back.
Okay. That's awesome.
Yeah.
And you can find me on twitch.tv/Puya. I will be streaming there 3 times a week, regardless of what's going on my podcasting side of things. And that is a lot these days, thanks to the return of Big Brother, of course. You can catch me talking about Big Brother Friday mornings, 11 Eastern, on the live feed update with Taryn. And you'll probably see my head pop up here and there for other Big Brother stuff that will be coming around. And you can find me on Twitter at Puyaism. If you want to at me again, if you want to at me about psychics, I would like to learn more about that. If there's anything that I've described on the podcast that is factually incorrect, feel free to correct me. I always want to learn and improve. But speaking of learning and improving, let's talk about leaving a review. If you would like to leave a rating and review for this podcast, please go over to robhasawebsite.com/90dayfiance. That's the number 9, the number 0, day fiance. That will help immensely. It helps people find the podcast. It lets me know, you know, feedback of what you think of this episode, what you think of the podcast in general. And we've been seeing a lot of people leaving reviews, and I think we just surpassed 100, which is amazing. So every little bit helps. And I do thank you in advance if you do so. Thank you. That concludes your time here on the Hot Mess Express. We have reached our destination. Come back next week for episode 13 of 90 Day Fiancé Happily Ever After. And for the 90-second fiancé recap of any other 90 Day stuff that's going on TLC Network. Until then, take care. Stay hydrated, and remember, I don't know which one I want to write and like leave you with. Remember, don't be Ronald McDonald. Be yourself. Take care, everyone. Bye.